There is no safe. There never has been, not in my lifetime. But I meant what I said. You and Nikolai are the ones who can change that.
Mm. So good. That's deep.
Damn, that's good. Welcome back to Two Mourners.
One book club.
I'm Em.
I'm Jordy.
And today we are going to go over chapters 16 through 20 of Rule of Wolves by Leigh Bardugo. So we left off. And
and Uncle Alex is back, baby.
He's that weird uncle that no one wants.
Oh, and also Tolia was mean to the Shuhan queen.
Oh yeah.
I'd love to see it.
He said, bitch.
he literally said, bark, bitch.
Like, literally.
He literally did.
Literally.
He quoted poetry about dogs to her. He said it.
Mm-hmm. that's funny. So, chapter 16 is in Nina's point of view. Yada, yada, yada. Nina and Hannah are getting ready for the hunt because they were invited by Prince Rasmus.
Rasmus is weird.
And they specifically, like, forget their coats. And so they're, like, going to the hunt and they're talking with the prince. And, he's like, oh, I'm so weak, and Hannah's trying to be nice. And he's like, oh, I feel good, like, I'm gonna go on the hunt. and then Nina, like, makes a ploy to get away from him so mm-hmm. the queen sees her. Because remember, she, like, was like, hey, Queenie.
how about them miscarriages?
Yeah. Okay, speaking of royalty, where's Kate Middleton?
Where is she?
Where, like, that's crazy, right? Like, why would they not?
Incredibly crazy.
Why would they not just ring her out on the balcony?
I don't know.
Why was she not at the St. Patrick's Day thing?
I don't know,
dude.
It's wild.
And then her alleged mister. Yeah,
I hadn't heard. I'm on the social media right now. Oh. I hadn't heard about the mister.
He's dead. Yeah, he was found in his home, what? Allegedly self-inflicted. Oh my gosh.
I'm getting real tired of this alleged self-inflicted business.
I know. I'm like, really?
Mm-mm.
And Prince William's mistress, who was friends with Kate, allegedly her daughter, which, take this, the people are grasping at straws here. Her daughter is blonde. And she and her husband have dark hair. Genetics. Funny how they work.
That's what got Ned Stark killed on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, but genetics.
No, that's what I'm saying. Genetics got Ned killed in Game of Thrones.
Yes, but I'm saying recessive genes.
I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying.
Let's be real. Let's be real.
I don't know.
I don't know. It's a little suspicious. It's a little suspicious. I saw one thing that said, like, some news article, or not news article. I don't know. Someone had speculated that King Charles had died, and the palace is like, he's not dead.
I also saw that speculation.
It was like, that's kind of funny.
Even being off of social media, it's like in Brother Bear, like, quit telling everybody I'm dead.
Yeah.
Sometimes I can still hear his voice.
That's so funny.
So good.
So, who's anyway, who knows where she is? I don't know.
Crazy things afoot. We hope that all of our listeners out in the UK are good.
Yeah. Team Diana.
Doing well.
Anyway, so she saw the queen, and the queen was like, hey, my son is getting stronger. And Nina's like, for now. She's like, what do you mean?
She honestly popped off with that.
Yeah. She's like, what do you mean?
For now.
And Nina asks the queen, she's like, have you been praying? She's like, every day.
Every day.
She's like, what about Tijel's children?
My dresses are worn out. They've been praying so much.
And Nina's like, yeah, well, what about Tijel's children? She's like, huh?
And that was a...
For the saints.
That
the
was old. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That was dangerous. That was a mystery tool that might come in handy later.
Yeah. Before, as they're going to go out on the hunt, the queen is like, Rasmus, you should sit with me. And that's, like, really embarrassing for him.
Like,
but he can't tell his mom no because she's the queen. So he's like, I'll just sit here. Like, I'm no better than a plain woman in my silks and lace. He literally says that.
Rasmus is funny. He's a little weirdo, but he's got some good lines.
Yeah, if he wasn't such an asshole, like.
I know. He kind of slays if he wasn't such a dick.
Where are we? They're like, Brum makes a sly comment about, like, oh, you should stay, blah, 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 blah. And so Rasmus is pissed, and Hannah is trying to, like, console him, you know, be kind. And Rasmus is like, oh, Hannah, you feel sorry for me. Mila, oh, you feel so many emotions as a woman. But Joran doesn't, his guard. And so what does he do?
This is so wild.
He's like, asks, so the prince asks if Joran feels anything. And he's like, yes. And Euron says he feels pride and regret. And he's like, the prince is like, pain? He's like, yeah. And so the prince grabs a stick and slaps him across the face. And Hana's like, bro.
Even Nina's like, ugh?
Yeah.
A stick across my fearing guard?
And after he hits him, the prince is like, does he hurt? And Euron's like, yeah. And he hits him again. He hits him a total of 3 times. And after the second one, Nina goes to get her dad to stop it. But Nina's like, there's something wrong with Euron. Like, it's like he feels like he deserves this punishment.
Yeah. He's, like, taking it in. Like this is his penance.
Yeah. But this is shocking to Nina because she also just kind of thought that the prince was a little weird. She didn't think he was, like, vicious.
Yeah, she thought he was a little offbeat, a little strange.
Yeah. And she's thinking, quote, she'd wanted to believe he was like Matthias, but Matthias had never been cruel. Nothing had been able to corrupt the honor in his mighty heart. That bitch be crying in the club. I'm the bitch. I, like, have just full body chills again. Like, it's just so sad. These next few chapters are just, like, really emo for me. And this was the start of it. And I should have known. Nina goes up to Hana and Brum and she's like, oh, it's fine. I was just, you know, a little cold, but I'm feeling better now. Before Nina goes, Rasmus tells her, hey, tell Hana I expect to see her at this party later.
Like,
I wrote, ew, that's disgusting.
He is disgusting.
It's yucky. So she, anyway, now Nina goes over to Hana and Brum. She's like, oh, I'm fine.
I feel better if I saw the puppies.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Same.
Honestly, relatable impulse.
Yeah. And Brum is like, oh, no, this is like a silly little hunt unless we're chasing a fox, a.k.a. Nikolai. They're not going
to
do that.
Why are you so obsessed, Brum?
Yeah. And Hana's like, Papa, Mila really wanted to see the puppies.
We really look forward to will you to take us to the kennels?
Besides, we're so cold. And he's like, you should dress for this weather. And she was like, I told you Mila needed a new coat. And Nina's over there like, I'm fine. She's like, I'm okay. And then he, like, looks at Brum's her. Gross. He's like
that.
He's like, oh, a helpless woman?
Delicious.
He's disgusting.
So nasty. He's so gross.
Sorry, I took a little sip of my bevy. Actually, let's talk about our bevy that Jordan made.
Bevies.
I had some over 21 bevies that Jordy mixed with vanilla ice cream and a little bit of cocoa powder for a yummy milkshake. It's really delightful.
I'm very glad to hear it.
Yeah, it's yummy.
Our secret talent is dairy-based alcohol products.
Yeah, I think we need to do this more.
Yeah.
Not just
it's like... a shame I'm lactose intolerant.
I've never met a lactose intolerant person that...
Whoever took it seriously.
Yeah, they're like...
I'd much rather suffer for a little bit and eat dairy.
Valid. And so Brum, like, looks over Nina like... she's cold. I like that. Woman.
I like a frigid woman.
Brum is like, oh, I'll take you guys. And Hana's like, oh, that's not what we wanted. Mm-hmm. She's like, why doesn't one of your guards take us? Like, you have to join the hunt. Like,
aren't you busy?
And he's like, oh, the prince isn't going on the hunt, so I don't have to. And Nina notes that, like, he's getting more brazen with his slander about the prince.
He and the prince are kind of in a pissing contest, too, a little bit.
And so, as they're walking, Nina's, like, thinking of Euron and thinking, she's like, something's there. That, like, I don't know
what's
going on.
That boy ain't right.
Yeah.
What's going on with him? She's like,
okay, we gotta get it. And so they go back to the ice court. And they get to the kennels, and they're following Brum, and he's like, Tegan, whatever.
Calm. It's like saying, shh.
Yeah.
That's the John Mulaney. Why do people shush animals? They've never spoken.
That's so funny.
It's really good. It's funny.
And so the wolves are, like, snapping, you know, like, jumping in their kennels, And he's like, oh, don't, Mila, don't be scared. They can't get you. And Nina's like full, like feeling full on fury right now because she's thinking of Trastle and how he saved her and she tried to save him and Matthias. And so she gets closer and closer to the kennels. And then all the wolves, like, because at this point, if y'all have ever been in like a humane society, a lot of times people go in, all the dogs start barking.
And they go crazy.
So that's kind of what is happening here. And then as she gets closer, they all just lie down and put their heads on their paws.
They're like, oh, okay.
They just, like, lie down like a little baby. And
Brum's like, that's weird.
That's,
Before we started recording, I was like, it must be your feminine wiles taming these beasts.
He's like, I've never seen them do that before. That's crazy.
And that's why Hannah is trying to kind of be like, oh, it must be because we're girls.
They're just not used to women over here.
We're just a couple of gal pals.
And he's like,
no, that's strange. That's like, weird.
What the hell?
No, literally, he's feeling a type of way about it.
But as he like has a critical thought about it, an alarm begins to ring, and he's like, "We gotta go," because he has PTSD from when the crows broke into the ice.
He's like, "Not again! I can't let it happen again."
He's meddling kids.
He, like, holds on to, like, his fake, his toupee. Like, I can't do this again. I gotta go.
My hair just started growing back. I just got a hair transplant.
I can't let him take anything else.
And,
I just got a hair transplant.
And so there's a guard. He's like, red protocol. The prison sector has been breached. He's like, son of
he's
a
like,
bitch.
That's the same. That's Kaz mother loving Brecker.
Because that's the same thing that happened last time. Mm-hmm. And so he tells Hannah and Nina and Mila to stay there. And the guards will remain posted. She's like,
what's going on?
And Nina's like panicky, pretending to panic. And he's pissed. He's like, I literally can't deal with this right now.
No, she literally is like forcing herself to cry. And he's like, chill out.
Mm-hmm. And Hannah's like, you're literally just going to leave us here. Give me a gun. And he's like, what? He's like, do you even know how to use a gun? She's like, I remember. Like,
you taught me.
He's like, it's been years. And he's like, oh, I shouldn't have taught my daughter how to do this. Mm-hmm. I'm like, grow up, Brum. Grow up.
Literally.
So as he leaves, this was all orchestrated by Nina. Mm-hmm. It's a fake. They just needed a distraction because she needs to get to Brum's office. So Nina sneaks out the back way, gets to Brum's office. And as she's walking, she sees the wall of banners or the wall that is like, just one big banner. And it's made of keftas.
So terrible.
And she's just like feeling sick about it. And then she gets to Brum's office and she had taken his key ring earlier. Mm-hmm. And she sees like souvenirs.
Like trophies.
Yeah. It's trophies really of like people that he has presumably killed on his like mantle. Like,
ew, it's really terrible. Gross. Like, there's like a child's lower jaw.
I'm like, what are you doing with that, Brum?
I know. It's like, ooh, you bested a 3-year-old. You're big and bad.
Like, why? What was the reason?
What was the reason?
And so then she looks at Brum's desk, and she's looking for Queen Tatiana's letters. And so, because remember, Brum has them. And there's coded messages. And then she sees a map of the little palace.
This is the first time I have caught this.
Yeah, I caught it when I was reading this again. Early, like, when I was...
this
yeah,
chapter today.
No,
fart, man.
Yeah. When I was reading it, I was like... oh.
My stomach literally just dropped.
Mm-hmm. She sees a little palace in the school, and she thinks, quote, home. And then she's like, no, gotta keep moving. And the letters aren't in his desk, and she hears the clock chime, and so she's been in there for 15 minutes. She can't find anything. Mm-hmm. And then she's, like, knocking, like, along the panel on the wall to see if there's, like, anything. And she hears, like, an empty space. And so she opens a little thingy, like, little panel, and there's a safe. She's like, oh, they have to be inside here. And earlier she had gotten some vials from one of the Ring Scala network. And
it's kind of like the stuff that Weiland gave Kaz.
Yeah. You put it like a weevil.
Highly corrosive.
Mm-hmm. And so she, like, puts it together and puts it on the safe, and it starts melting through. But she hears something. She's like, oh, no. And it sounds like...
like a person.
Yeah, she's like, oh, no. And then she's thinking, wait, what? Where's this, like, what? Where's the room? And so she just leaves the safe. And she's, like, has her dart ready in case she has to kill someone. And then she, like, finds a door and it's a cell, just a regular cell. Mm-hmm. And she notes that the man in it looks like Nikolai.
Eek.
But older.
Uh-oh.
And it's Magnus Alpier.
Uh-oh. Did you ever watch the Running for Your Life from Shia LaBeouf?
No.
Oh, it's really funny. I wrote Shia surprise in the margins, but that doesn't hit as much if you haven't heard the other one. It's funny.
Sorry.
But
I'm looking at the audio. Can you turn your mic up just a little bit? Because I feel like I don't want to be like super loud.
We're pretty modulated.
Okay, cool. And she's like, Magnus? And he's like, yeah.
That's me.
And so she realizes, oh no.
Oh, fart.
He's Nikolai's dad. But she also notes, I don't care. She does not care that Nikolai isn't, quote, a true, like, Lantsov. And Opier is begging her to help him. And she's like, why are they keeping you? Girl, why do you think they're keeping
literally,
him there?
Like, come on.
Have a critical thought, Nina.
Please.
And he tells her that they kidnapped her and that he's their insurance, but he's not going to speak against his son or Tatiana. And again, she's like, I don't care. And he's begging her to let him out. And she's like, I don't have a way to get you out. But he's like helpless at this point, but she does promise to come back. And he tells her, he's like, I never meant to hurt my son. Like, you have to believe me. And she tells him that she does, but that he can't get her out, that she can't get him out right now. And she promises him that she'll come back, but he just is terrified.
And like rightfully so.
And that's the end of chapter 16 and chapter 17. And Uncle Alex is gone.
Uncle Alex, he gone.
He, remember, he like stabbed
he did something.
Mal and Alina with something and then ran away. He's like, ah, ha, ha,
ha. What do you have? A thorn. No. He's like, like motoring away like a little goblin.
Yeah, except as he's running, Zoya like uses her powers to push wind and he falls down literally. The stairs.
I love to think of him, like, in a cloak or something. It's, like, over the top of his head now. And he's like, oh crap.
He's, like, running, like, hee-hee-hee. I did it. I was, like, trying to think of a way that so I could, funny. Like, gracefully fall down your stairs for TikTok.
I appreciate the commitment to the bit.
But that's just, like, so funny to me. Like, he's like, I did it.
Right?
But that's, like, Yuri.
Yeah. It's funny.
But
it's
he gets up and there's Nichevoya around him. Zoya's pissed.
She is.
She is furious.
And Eurus in her brain is like, turn into the dragon. Let's do it. Let's get after him.
Let go. And she's like, she's like, I can't do it. And she's pissed because she's like, she's blaming herself.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh my gosh, he just toyed with us. We are kids. Like, we don't need anything. He needed Alina and Mal, and I brought them to
delivered
him.
It.
Like, this is my fault. And so she...
Bless you. Bless you. Oh,
thank you. So sorry.
You're fine.
Oh.
You're really good.
She immediately is like, someone get the flyers. Like, we gotta stop him. She, like, yells at him. She's like, you have nowhere to go. I will hunt you down.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
he's like, I'm out of here.
But the guards immediately start shooting, and one of them shoots him. And he's like,
Yeah, I love that. Because she is described as a yelp, and he's like, ouchie, something bit me.
Well, because he's like not used to feeling pain.
No, but
like physical pain.
Yuri is.
Yeah. And she's like, oh, he can still bleed. Oh.
Like, we still got this.
And she's screaming. Or, sorry. So they shoot him, but then he, like, uses a Nichevoya to pull down the fighter planes. And Zoya's screaming and uses her powers to stop their fall. Because she's like, I'm not letting a single soldier more die to this
no
man.
No one he else has, can die
he
to
has
him.
Killed too many people, and I'm not going to let that happen. The Darkling, as he's, like, running away, he's like, I win, bitch.
Pretty much.
No, but he does say, quote, and now I will become what the people most desire, a savior. When I am done, they will know what a saint can do.
He's so dramatic.
Do you not remember, like, the whole Civil War that happened, like, two books ago?
No,
that was
doesn't.
Your fault, and how literally everyone except the starless saints, whatever, like, follow you.
He was too busy gaslighting a goddess.
Literally. And Juris is like, we are the dragon.
Like, let's go. Let's do it. Go.
She's like, I can't.
She's like, I don't wanna. I'm scared.
And so this is pretty baller. Honestly. She like uses her powers and flattens the trees and gets mm-hmm. the sun soldiers out of the way from harm. She's like, not one more. And she uses lightning mm-hmm. And tries to like
strike him,
but then darkness just covers everything and he's gone. And Alina's there and her hand is bleeding and poor Misha, he's like sobbing.
Yeah,
and
Misha's going through it.
Yeah. And Mal's holding him back and Alina's like, let him go. And so Misha runs into the forest to try and go after him, to try and go after the Darkling, which I'm like, maybe don't do that.
Yeah, but the Darkling's long gone. He doesn't care about Misha.
Yeah. But if he was smart, he could have used that as a pawn.
Like, yeah, he's really, we'll see here momentarily. He's not really thinking like he normally does. He is off mm-hmm. balance.
And Zoya asks Alina and Mal if they're all right. They're like, yeah. She's like, all right, I got to get back to the palace. Like, I got to track him. And Alina's like, no, you're not going to find him.
It's not worth it.
Because Alina knows him the best.
Yeah, truly.
Like, he gave up the most that he ever has to her, like, of himself to her. And so she knows it. And Zoya's like, all right, well, we'll evacuate you. And they're like, no, we're going back to Kramzin.
We're going home.
We're going home. Like, the kids can't be moved. They've been through enough. Like, we're going home. And Zoya's like, no, like, I can keep you safe. Like, this is my fault. Like, I can keep you safe. I can send soldiers over there. Like, I can. And she keeps, like, trying to do, like, give them anything. And Alina, like, finally just puts her hand on her shoulders. Like, Zoya, stop. Mm-hmm. Like, you, they like go back and forth a little bit mm-hmm. more. She's like, I'll send soldiers. And I was like, you can't afford it. We're okay. It's okay.
We can handle ourselves.
And Zoya's like, you guys need to be safe. And that's when the quote from the beginning of the chapter comes mm-hmm. from, or beginning of the episode comes from. And Alina's like, Zoya, there is no safe. Like
it doesn't exist.
Mm-hmm. I think you and Nikolai can change that. But right now there's nothing.
Yeah.
And then Zoya's like, wait, how did he do it? And Mal's like, oh, he stabbed us with this
thorn,
with this little thorn wood. And she's like, oh my gosh. That
little. And this is where I was like, dang, because she realized he had been taunting them,
mm-hmm.
like waving his plan around in their faces the entire time, trying to see if they would get it, and they never did.
Mm-hmm. And Zoya's again like, oh my god, I let him go. I failed us. And Mal's like, well, if you're gonna stop fighting now,
if you give up, yeah. But
also, what are the scars on your back? I really.
If you can beat a cave bear, you can beat the Darkling. So he's like, "What?" Like, doesn't even remember she told him that. If you can survive 6 daggers, then this is nothing.
She's like, what are you talking about? She's like,
are you out of your mind?
He's like, but what?
Never mind. It's fine.
I really hope Leibar Digo has a question and answer thing at her.
I really hope she does.
Because I will.
That'd be so funny.
I already told Lindsay. I was like, we have to get there early. Like, we have to get there early.
Yeah.
Because, like.
It's going to be so fun.
Yeah. Oh, I wish you could come.
I know.
I need to know what she told him, man. I like need to know if y'all.
I just want him to say something just wild. Like, it's a miracle those 6 ninja stars just skimmed you.
What? It's like,
and Elena's like, boy, what?
If you can survive 6 strikes of lightning hitting you, you can survive the Darkling.
You got this.
And Zoe and Alina, they're like, what?
Like, huh?
And he's like, but it.
Like, but you told me. Never mind. Anyway. It's not important.
Anyway, Zoya's like, how are you guys so calm? And they're like, oh, we're not calm. We're really terrified. Mm-hmm. But then Alina asks, she's like, did he seem different?
Right.
And like a few episodes ago, I was like, he had stayed the same, but he hadn't grown. Yes, he hadn't grown. That's the better term for it. And so anyway, Alina's like, he needed our blood, and he knew, and he was taunting us. And then
terrible.
They're like, oh, he's different.
Yeah, Alina's like, he's not right. He's not the same.
He's not as suave as he used to be.
No, literally, she's like, I know he's in the body of a virgin-ass nerd, but something's not right here.
Hey!
You're not a nerd. that out if you want me to.
That's fine. I don't care. Truth hurts, doesn't it?
Good God. You're fine.
Anyway. Yeah, go ahead.
She's just saying he seems wrong. Something's wrong with him.
He's a little twerpy.
That's a good way to put it. He's shaken, not stirred right now.
Yeah. Alina's like, what is the monk's name? And Zoya tells her, she's like, he's there.
He's definitely in there with him.
Alina's like, yeah, he seems kind of like off kilter. And Mal tells her, has he ever been on kilter?
Oh, get him, Mal.
I was like, actually valid.
Rare Mal W.
Then Alina puts her hand on Zoya's cheek, and Zoya's like taken back to her being with her aunt.
She has a Ratatouille moment.
Yeah, she's like, I could stay. Again, remember when she was with her aunt, she's like, I could stay here. And then her aunt tells her, quote, not my brave girl. There are some hearts that beat stronger than others. That was a quote.
Oh my gosh. I literally drew a little crying face in the margin. And then Alina says the same thing to her as her aunt did. Mm-hmm. Basically, it was like, you're not alone. And we know he can be beaten because we've done it before.
And Zoe's like, no, he's literally lived a gajillion lifetimes. Like, I can't do it. And Alina's like, he flinched when you almost struck him with lightning. Yeah. He was not expecting that. And she's like, you're stronger than you think.
And Alina really does break out her, like, look, I've been in therapy. Mm-hmm. I've been unpacking a lot of this. Mm-hmm. He only ever treated us this way because he was afraid of us and what we could become.
And so then Zoya has Eurus's voice in her head, like, we are the dragon, we don't lie down. And she feels a little bit better. Mm-hmm. And Alina's like, if you need help, like, I'll join you. And Zoya's like, you don't have your powers. And Alina's like...
I got this gun, though. Anyway, I start blasting.
And then Eurus tells...
I love this.
Yeah, Eurus's voice in Zoya's head says, quote, I like this one. She's unafraid. Loss has made her bold. If only I could say the same for you. She's like, shut
up. She's like, that's the last thing I need.
She's like, okay, well, we were doing so good.
Okay. Oh, boy. Oh, gee.
Chapter 18. Is a Nikolai's point of view. I can't.
I know. I'll do my best.
No, it's okay.
Okay.
Chapter 18 is a Nikolai's point of view, and he knows that the dinner...
stupid chef back at it again with the jelly. What's this dude's obsession? Did he just get a catalog from the 1950s?
He got a pampered chef catalog with all the jello molds.
One of the other housewives that is in the Tupperware group with him gave her...
Tupperware? Say it again.
Tupperware.
No, one more time. Tupperware? No.
No?
No, I'm talking about Tupper. The audio.
Wrong.
You're throwing bees at me, babe. It's peas.
You've got to try this Jell-O salad. But we have... Y'all know we are friends. We're fans of the Jell-O desserts.
Maki is leaving, and we learned that... she and Nikolai had signed a treaty, an agreement. Mm-hmm. Nikolai is telling her, you're welcome to stay. And Maki's like, I've literally exhausted myself. I can't do this anymore.
I gotta go home.
Then before she leaves, she tells Nikolai, she's like, there's this blight that happened in Amrat Jen. Mm-hmm. And Nikolai confirms that it's happened in other places. And she's like, is it a Ravkin weapon? He's like, it's not. It's happened like... in the Wandering Isle, in Fierda, in Novi Zem, in Ravka, and in Shuhan. Like, it's not us.
It's everywhere.
And she's like, it has to do with the fold, doesn't it? And he tells her that they think it does, but they're not sure, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. And she's like, when you figure out what it is, you're going to tell me. And he confirms that he will. Mm-hmm. But he also notes that this is, like, personal to her. Because remember, she lost her favorite niece.
That's so sad.
She asks him about the Darkling and that there's rumors that he'll return. And he says, quote, first I need to best the wolf at my door. Then we'll see what nightmares lurk in the dark.
Ooh.
Hot.
Oh. She's like, maybe my sister should have married you. No. She's like.
She's not.
She's like, let me at him.
Yeah.
When you find him.
And she's like, I'll be the one to punish him. And he's like, okay.
Sure.
And so then she gets in the carriage and they have one more little, like, parting words. And he's like, you know what? too bad you didn't get to meet General Nazi-Yelinsky. I think y'all would have gotten along really well. Probably and true. Then back in the ballroom, everyone's dancing, and Nikolai notes that it's weird to celebrate this without Tamar there, and not knowing if she's okay. And he notes that Nadia had gone to bed early, too, after she wished David and Jenya well, because she was too worried about Tamar. But Tolya's there because he loves David and Jenya. But he could see...
Even though he's a little shy.
Yeah, Nikolai can tell worried. That he's sad. And then Nikolai asked Jenya where David went. And she's like, oh, we were dancing and he had an idea about something and left. She's like, it was very romantic. And Nikolai's like, he danced? And she's like, I know.
Right?
And he was counting under his breath and he was trying really hard. And Jenya's like, and I had a queen at my wedding. And he's like, and a king.
I'm right here.
He's like, yeah. You've lost your charm. Okay. They ask about Tamar and they've received word that she's there, but they don't know anything beyond that. And so by midnight, most of the party has gone down. And Nikolai goes back to his quarters to go over the correspondence that he's received.
He's missing Zoya.
Yeah, it's too quiet. And he's notes that he's too afraid to fall asleep just because she's not there and he doesn't know what's going to happen. So he gets tea. He orders tea and Tolya's the one who brings it to him. And Tolya's like, I can't sleep. And Nikolai's like, well, we could play cards. And Tolya's like, I've been working on a poem.
And Nikolai says, quote, or we could shoot ourselves out of a cannon.
Poor Tolya.
I know.
And he's like, culture wouldn't hurt you. And then Nikolai. It's
classic Nikolai.
Why does Nikolai. Like, this was so unnecessary.
It's just classic Nikolai.
Nikolai tells him, he's like, Tamar found the girl. What about you? And he's like, I was like, slay king. He says, quote, I have my faith, my books. I never wanted more.
I literally wrote ace king in the margin.
Slay. And then Nikolai asks Tolya if he was in love with Alina. And Tolya's like, were you?
That made me think of an iRobot where Will Smith's like, can a robot paint a beautiful masterpiece? Can a robot write a sonnet? And the robot goes, can you? And it's like, ooh.
Honestly?
No.
And Nikolai admits, he's like, I did care about her, and I still do, and I think I probably could have loved her in time, because now he knows what true love feels like with Zoya. And I think if we went back and read Siege and Storm right after this, we would
see,
like,
he likes Alina, but he likes the idea of what she could be politically more.
Well, they acknowledge that they would be together for, like, for the good of Ravka.
Yeah.
And they both knew that, but they knew that they could be happy together. Because they did love each other, just not romantically.
Like, they had similar values, similar goals. It was a good match politically. And they knew that that could become a happy life. But there wasn't passion in it.
Yeah. I can find passion with Nikolai. I'm just saying.
I could find passion with Nikolai blindfolded and turned around multiple times.
Put me in the woods with a blindfold. I'll find it.
I sniff that man out. I am like a truffle pig.
Anyway.
You remember in Bear in the Big Blue House when he, like...
Do not compare this to Bear in the Big Blue House.
The Bear in the Big Blue House would come up and sniff the camera.
Who's gonna want me to school? Beer!
Beer!
Who's gonna tie my shoes? Beer! We are Tedder.
Yes, always.
If y'all don't know what Bear in the Big Blue House is, childhood show, 10 out of 10.
Get cultured.
So then Tolya answers him. He's like, yeah, so to you, Alina's just a girl. To me, she's a saint. And that's a different kind of love. And I'm like,
it's, oh. I want to hear his poem.
I'm like, Alina, marry Tolya.
Well, he's literally, because it's going to sound trite and I'm being so genuine, but because of who I am and how my voice sounds, it is going to sound trite. But Tolya loves Alina like Christians love Jesus. It's like a different type of love.
Except I wouldn't be mad if Alina and Tolya got together.
I don't know. I like Tolya as an asexual king.
Yeah, that's
he's
fair.
He's vibing.
That's fair.
But I feel like they could have vibed together.
Oh, remember in the show when he, like, had eyes with Inej? I was like, wrong.
Sir?
No.
Avert your gaze.
No. Don't look at her.
Have you seen that TikTok audio of, like, something happens and then, like, it cuts to another scene and another character is like, something just happened.
Yeah.
It's like, that's Kaz.
He's like,
something just happened.
And then after he says that, there's an alarm bell that sounds. And Nikolai notes that he hadn't heard that since his family was, well, one part of his family was murdered.
Yeah, since a lot of his family was slaughtered at his birthday party.
Bummer.
happy birthday.
And so then there's like a big, there's a bomb, there's an explosion, mm-hmm. and it knocks out some of the hallway, and Nikolai and Tolya are running, and there's a guard, and he's like, Your Highness, and he's been hit. Mm-hmm. But Nikolai tells him to get everyone in the tunnels, get mm-hmm. them underground. And he's like, no, this is you. He's like, do it. Mm-hmm. 'Cause Nikolai is not going to leave his people to...
Never.
Yeah, he's going to be he's out Nikolai. On the front lines. Yeah. Gosh, I love him so much.
He's so good. And he immediately gets into his, for lack of airplane.
Yeah.
He gets into his plane.
Mm-hmm. And he sees that it's the Fjordan bombers. And remember, Nina saw a map. Of,
with locations
of the marked. Little palace
and Azalta in the lower town, mm-hmm. all with marks that she didn't know what it meant.
Yeah,
she was focused on the letters.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot blame her.
No,
like you don't know that the information would have gotten there in time.
Yeah,
but just the hindsight is what makes this even more tragic.
And Nikolai is like running to his like he's in the air and he's thinking, okay, well we have to have David's bomb now because we can't
they
do
this. Change the game.
And he sees fires burning, and he notes that, two domes in the little palace had crumbled, but luckily they hadn't gotten the dormitories, and he notes no one would have been in the classrooms or workshop this late, but he realized that they had been aiming for the school, and that was one of the marks that Nina had seen.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's trying to figure out where all the flyers are because it's like fighter pilots in planes.
Yeah.
But he can't hear over the engine of his plane. And so he cuts the engine and like finds, you know, starts shooting at someone and he's mm-hmm. hit back. And he's like willing himself to not panic. And mm-hmm. he's like, he's thinking, oh my gosh, I can't see. Like, I don't know where they are. But the demon inside of him can.
Mm-hmm.
And it wants to go. And he's like, I can't do it. And then he's like, you know what? No, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh.
Like, get after it.
Yeah. And Oof. So he lets the monster go. And he realizes, like, he's in two places. So Nikolai physically is like,
flying the plane.
But the demon, who's also Nikolai.
I love this new mode.
Yeah. What a hot. What an advantage. What
I have to show you a terrible meme after this that I cannot describe.
No, I'm like, hot.
No, this, I'm like,
I don't, okay.
It's good.
He notes, quote, he was himself, a king taking a risk he shouldn't, a mm-hmm. privateer making a gamble he must, a pilot with his hands gripping the Peregrine's controls, and he was the demon racing through the air, a part of the dark, his wings spreading, unquote.
So good.
Oh. And so he, like, as the demon, he's sensing where these people are, and he's diving towards them.
Yeah.
So he, like, breaks the glass of these pilot of the planes, and just, like...
It's, like, the worst thing that could ever happen to you if you were a fighter pilot, honestly.
Yeah, but I'm like, slay.
Literally.
Slay.
He's drinking blood.
Yeah, he literally kills two of the pilots.
I love this, though. I was like, oh.
I know. Oh. And, like, Nikolai himself can taste the blood that the demon tastes.
Mm-hmm.
Then he goes to the last bomber, and the demon is, like, ready to kill him. And Nikolai's like, no, I want them to know. I want them to live in fear. And Good. So the demon just grabs the pilot
and looks at
him. Yeah, yells. But Nikolai notes that it's actually him yelling. Like, mm-hmm. all of Nikolai's anger is going through the demon.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I am the monster. The monster is me. He's like, they are going to know what Ravka has, mm-hmm. that they do have a demon king. Hot.
go off. The demon literally smells like,
I'm like,
this guy peed his pants.
I'm over here like, whoo.
No.
Oh my.
why is this Fjordan pilot blushing?
And Nikolai's like willing the pilot. He's like, mm-hmm. make them believe you. Make them believe what you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
And then he pulls,
he reels him in.
Yeah, reels him in. The fighter pilot goes away and he's like, oh my god. Mm-hmm. And as he's flying back to the little palace, he's like, only we'll only see the real damage in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
He runs down, he sets the plane down, and like starts to sprint, like takes his jacket off, starts running towards the rubble to see where he can mm-hmm. help. He's like thinking about all the next steps. And then as he gets to the little palace, mm-hmm. the fabricator workshops and Korporalki laboratories mm-hmm. are completely destroyed. And he's like, okay, whatever we lost, like in research, we'll be able to fix it. And then he sees mm-hmm. Tolya in the crowd mm-hmm. and he's like, he realizes Tolya's crying.
Big, strong, stoic Tolya has his hand over his mouth and tears in his eyes.
Mm-hmm. And he notes that there's squalors trying to clear the rubble, and Jenya's with them, and she was on her knees. And then he remembers, oh my god, Jenya told him that David was in the laboratories, and Nikolai just runs over there and, like, kneels beside her and, like, just grabs her. And she grabs him, and she says, quote, I can't find him. I can't find David.
I almost put this book down the first time I was reading it when I got to this part. I think I texted you, and I was like...
You did put it down. You told me you threw it.
I did. I was healing from my leg tattoo, mm-hmm. and I was sitting in that chair, and I threw the book down and said, I need a break for a second.
I'm just picturing her just being like, I can't find him.
And still in her wedding dress.
Yeah, she's still in her wedding dress. And she's like, I can't find him.
Well, and it's like,
have like full body chills.
It's just terrible because it's a little like implied with Tolya that like they did find his body. But she's like,
yeah,
he's not in it anymore.
Yeah, she's like, I can't find him.
He's not here.
I think Tolya sees him.
Yeah, Tolya sees him.
But I don't think Jenya has.
No.
Because Tolya is going to protect her from that.
But it's just, I mean, you hear these terrible stories. Like, I heard this, I cannot remember when or where, but I remember it because it touched me so deeply, of, like, this family was in a car accident and the little girl was decapitated by the seatbelt. Mm. And the mom just kept trying to put her head back on. Like, yeah. Her brain was so broken by grief that she couldn't understand why that wasn't fixing it. And it's like that. It's just terrible.
And now we're into the next part, the making at the heart of the world. And chapter 19 is in Mayu's point of view. And you're like, huh?
What?
We can't find David. And
but here's Mayu.
Mayu? Go ahead. I'm not going to do this one. I'll do the next one.
This one's pretty beef.
I got the emotional parts.
I got you.
And that's all I can do, man. That's all I can do today.
This is where I'm like, I like Mayu, and I like the Shuhan arc. I just think it should have been its own book. It feels shoehorned in here.
It should have.
But Mayu's kind of just vibing and, like, remembering her life and how she made her way into being part of the Tavern Guard and all that good stuff, and how she's a really, really good guard. Like, she's a good fighter, but a guard's job isn't just to fight, it's to observe. Mm-hmm. And she knows the art of letting her mind wander while she's observing things. And so they've been in the airship. She's been kind of listening to conversations. She knows that they detoured somewhere in the night, but it was like, eh, whatever. She was like, her internal calculation is, I'm not paid to carry enough. Mm-hmm. I just care about finding my brother. Mm-hmm. And she's thinking about growing up with her brother and how he was always just, like, naturally good at things, and her parents were always a little bit harder on her than on him, because he would, like, best her in combat, and he was a better student, and all of this stuff, but she listened and was more teachable, but she just had a lot of time, she struggled a lot, like, to collect her thoughts and herself and apply herself to something. And we made a little joke about this earlier, but she thrives with, like, routine and structure. And she learns that in her training. But
I just remember the joke.
But she's, like, thinking through, like, I thought we were just going to go straight to the palace, but I guess Tamar had other plans, so that's fine. And she's, like, she didn't even get off of the airship because it's, like, she's, like, it's not my business. So all she knows is that it smells like roses really heavily in the air, and that Tamar, Eri, and several Grisha and Second Army soldiers go off of it with them. And then when they come back, Eri has her arms full of, like, bright orange coral, which sounds so pretty, mm-hmm. of, like, coral orange roses.
But Mayu's over here like, we stopped for flowers.
No, Mayu's like, this bitch, really? You can't have, like, you can't go home without flowers? You sentimental little floozy. She really is. Not a floozy. She really does not like her. She has contempt for her. Because she does. Maki she blames has her. Contempt for her.
Yeah, well, she is also, like, this, like, what is it? Flippant little child.
Yeah, she thinks of her as, like, Apple Watch. Thank you. This is cute. My workout one. She thinks of her as, like, just, like, superfluous. Like, what mm-hmm. are you for?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, you're just extra. You're mm-hmm. nothing. And they're talking about, like, which ministers are going to have the best luck, like, persuading to their side so that they're not, like, summarily killed when they arrive at the palace. And then Tamar and Eri kind of go back and forth about the Kurgood program. And Tamar is, like, holding Eri accountable, even though all Eri has ever really done is eat hot chip and lie, is play her two strings and vibe.
But
Tamar's also like, but your family did this.
Yeah, like, you could have done something. You have to take some accountability.
Yeah, like, this. You are a royal member. You're a member of the royal family, and you could have done something. Mm-hmm. But you didn't. So, mm-hmm. like, turning... She's literally, like, with that Albert Einstein quote that's, like, turning away from something evil being done is as if you did it yourself.
Ooh.
It's like, you knew you did. You knew what was going on. You turned away from it.
Damn.
And she's like, well, my mom stopped those experiments. And she's like, okay.
And then
Mayu finally speaks up and goes, then where's my brother? Then where'd these people come from?
Hmm.
And Aerie's like, I had no idea they even really existed. And Mayu's like, be so for real right now. Like, you were a princess. How did you not know? And Aerie kind of turns it back on her like, well, you were a princess for a little bit. Did you find that it was like that everybody told you stuff?
Drag her.
And Mayu was like, no.
Fair. Okay. My bad.
But still. And it's becoming really clear that the Shuhan people know very little about the Kurgood. Like, the political machine in Shuhan is working as it should, where very few people actually know this thing does exist. Everyone else thinks it's just anti-Shu propaganda. Mm-hmm. But even though Tamar's like, I've literally fought these assholes. Like, I've killed them.
Tamar's like, no, I have seen them.
Like, I've literally fought them.
I'm not a liar.
But it's like, Tamar's like, okay, but your sister definitely took things a step further after your mom died. Like, before she was even made queen. And Eri kind of talks about Kuei and his dad, mm-hmm. like, kind of acting up and leaving. And then, oh, her mother died.
The only thing Kuei did to act up was kiss Jesper. When Jesper thought so that he was a Wyland.
I literally...
That was your least
favorite. I know, that's literally one of my least favorite moments ever. But Tamar's like, interesting timing. And Mayu's like, whoa, are you implying that the queen was killed? She's like, this is too much. I'm just trying to get my brother. I was not looking for all of this. And she almost kind of, like, thinks about how she was supposed to die after she killed, quote-unquote, Nikolai. Isaac, but that she did it, and she's like, you know, that was my duty, was to die, but now I'm here, and now I know that if I had died, they wouldn't have done anything for my brother. Like, mm-hmm. like, she's finally realizing that the person she served
that blindly bitch.
Was a conniving bitch, and she's kind of remembering, like, growing up again, like, her brother, how she could, like, even though she was jealous of him sometimes and the praise that he got from their parents, that she could still be happy about the good things going on in his life because they were twins. And just, like, she knows that he also felt the hard things in her life because they were just that close. And that's why she's been really focused on getting him back. Like, he was one of the ones who kind of encouraged her to try out for the Tavgarad mm-hmm. when her parents were like, oh, she's not good enough, she can't do this.
Which, okay, I'm gonna say this real quick. The parents, like, compared the two a lot as twins. So they're like, oh, her brother's better. Like, she's thinking, he just knows. As a twin, like, my parents never did that. Other people mm-hmm. did all the time. In mm-hmm. classes, teachers would be like, well, Emma got this grade. Why didn't you get it? Or Ben got this grade. Emma, why didn't you get it? Or Ben beat you. Emma beat you. It's like, don't compare us. Like, we hated it. And, like, we are competitive, partially because we are twins. Partially, that's just who we are. We're Capricorns. Mm-hmm. but, like, we're just competitive by nature.
Yeah.
But people tried, like, all the time, would try and pit us against each other. And I'm like, no. And
don't you hate that?
It's so ridiculous. I hate it. It's awful.
And so their parents are doing that, but like they're two full human beings.
My parents never did that. So
your parents are great.
Thank you. They are.
But so Mayu's like, no, I'm going to try out. I'm going to do it. And she makes it. And it's like when everyone else fails at different times in Top Garad, like they take it really hard. But she is used to failure and she likes training and she likes learning and she likes routine and being on her own and having quiet. And she finds that for the first time in her life that she can actually order her thoughts and focus on things and make decisions. And it's like, but she still feels really good. And like then she gets assigned to like the Queen's Guard and she's really proud. And she comes home. She's like, this is the last time I'm going to be home in a long time. Because I got a new assignment and I've made it. And her brother admits that he's kind of jealous of her. Because she worked really hard while he admits that he got complimented so often. He didn't work as hard as he maybe could have. Excuse me. And he's like, you know, I'm a little jealous. Like, you've worked really hard for this and I'm really proud of you. And she tells him, like, well, don't be. Like, if you would just apply yourself, then you would also be good. Like, you can't just be instantly good at everything.
My brother and I have had this conversation.
I know you
have. Like, on different fronts.
I know you have. She's like, you if you would just be willing to try something and fail once, then you would be so incredible.
This is a little too close to home.
But then...
I'm not gonna...
No, it's hard. Because she regrets saying that to him because she feels like that's the thing that pushed him to start, like, pushing himself. And he started being really good at things that he shouldn't have been really good at. And the army realized that he was Grisha and took him into the Kurgood program.
Damn, that sucks.
It's really sad. He was like, I should start applying myself. And the military was like,
I'll take that.
And, like, they tell her their parents, like, oh, he deserted. Like, he's probably never going to come home. He might be dead.
His twin sister's like, no, he didn't.
She's like, that was not him. Mm-mm. Not at all. And so she starts looking for him. And that's when she's summoned by Queen Maki. She's like, well, she caught me. She's going to kill me. But also the queen has to say is like, you don't have an accent like most of the other, like, Top Garad. Why? And Mayu's like, my mom was a teacher and didn't want us to be underprivileged by anything. So she made sure our elocution was on it. And she's like, interesting, can you curtsy? And Mayu's like, no, but I can learn because she's super teachable. Mm-hmm. And she's like, okay, the queen believes in me. She's giving me a chance to save my brother. But now, being where she is, she's like, that was a lie. That was a trap. She was using me. And then, basically...
They get to the palace.
Like, that's all that happens these, like, last two... Mm-hmm. These two pages here.
Yeah. Aerie's like, they're going to be skeptical. We got to be careful. And so, like, they go to the temple, which is, like, where Aerie's like, this is where we get them.
Pretty much.
And the ministers are there with guards in tow. And Tamar's like, you told us you would come alone. And one of the ministers is like, Rapkin in my shoe, huh?
He's looking at Tamar's tattoos with, like, open disgust.
He's like, Tamar Kurbatan in my temple?
You brought a lesbian to my temple?
I think maybe the more because she's half Ravkin and half Shu, and they think she's a traitor, the more is more of an issue know. Than being
I'm,
a lesbian.
I'm picking up some homophobic undertones.
Yeah, that's fair.
Gotta say. I mean, a woman with short hair built like a brick shit house with tattoos and two axes rolls up into your temple, and you have a problem, get yourself right.
That's fair. What if he was like, what if they're like, are you homophobic? And he's like, no, no, no. I just don't like her.
No, I'm gay. I just don't like her. That'd be so funny.
That's so hilarious. They know who Tamar is because everyone knows about the twins.
They have a reputation.
Yeah.
And they're kind of proud of it.
Yeah. Tamar and Tolya have a reputation. They're known for it. And one of the ministers is like, she's the enemy.
No.
And Tamar's like, what are you going to do? Like, try literally, me. Try me, bitch. Mm-hmm. And Avery's like, oh, no, no. Do you really think she's my a threat? My dear
friends.
No, she saved my life. If you thought she was a threat, then, you know, she's a heart render. Why would you? You would never speak to her like that if you really thought she was a threat, because she's a heart render and she has those beautiful axes next to her that she knows how to use. You wouldn't think that, would you? Mm-hmm. She saved my life. And they're mm-hmm. like, wait, what do you mean saved your life? We just sent the queen over there. Was she in a trap? And Tamar's like,
that she made.
Mm-hmm.
She made her bed. Now she has to lie in it.
Mm-hmm. And Avery's like, I'll just tell you everything. Just give me a chance. That's why Tamar escorted me here.
And Mayu's like, well, our goose is cooked.
Yeah. And the minister is like, why is this traitor here?
Mm-hmm.
And Tamar says, quote, a chance to see two windbags in a temple. She's like, oh, I said a chance to see peace thrive. And Aerie's like, oh, please, as a Tobin princess.
Yeah, kind of flexes her a little bit.
You should hear me. And the ministers are like, yeah, okay. Aerie's like,
gentle friends.
Gentle. My story is so sad, but I hope that you'll hear me.
I
just love that
I say gentle friends sometimes.
Yeah. when I told my mom, where was it? Oh, I was with Duncan. We were in San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Duncan, practice kindness. And my mom was like, that's so fun.
That's so great. Everyone's so creative. That's so
funny. And Mayu notes that Avery doesn't speak like a trained politician. She speaks
like a poet. Like mm-hmm. she's singing.
Because she's just, the ministers know her as just this innocent, lovable little girl. Mm-hmm. And that's what she's playing.
Yep.
Mayu knows, she's like, she doesn't have the fire, but the sweetness in her
mm-hmm.
is just like melting everyone. It's melting everyone.
Its own way.
Mm-hmm. As like Avery's telling the story and Mayu's feeling like conflicted about it because it's her story as well.
And it's Isaac's story too.
Yeah, and it's Isaac's story, and she's still heartbroken about him. And then she's like, did "Okay, love him." Yeah, and Mayu's like, "I need to." She's thinking, "I chose my brother over him. I don't have a right to grieve over Isaac," but she does.
She does. Those feelings are real. They mm-hmm. both were put in really bad positions.
Yeah, and then Mayu is called up and tells her side of the story. Mm-hmm. Tamar shows them the note that Maki sent. And Mayu told him about the code, and the ministers mm-hmm. step aside and they're like, they're whispering. And then two of the ministers turn and they're like, we have failed you. We should have protected you. And then Avery turns around. She's like, I need to ask for your forgiveness.
She literally hits him with the Uno reverse.
She's like, I put you at risk by sharing this information. Now all you know, in
you're in danger too.
And Tamar's like, we can get this right. She's on her way, but you guys need to bring Avery to the palace. She needs to be under your protection. The ministers are like, yes, of course, of course. Just please show us mercy when you're queen. And she's like, I don't want the crown. I just want justice and peace. Girl! Slay queen.
And Mayu's like, okay.
Slay future queen icon. They're like, oh, you should come to the palace when it's dark. And Avery's like, yes, you're right. I'll join you soon. And the ministers like give pledges of loyalty, and Tamar and Avery are like, nah.
We'll be there in 2 hours. And they leave and they're like, we're not really doing that, are we? And she's like, oh, no.
Absolutely not.
Hell no.
They're like, you don't believe the ministers, do you? And Tamar's like,
they seem fine enough, but
we need more than that. We need more than just the two ministers. They're like, Mayu's thinking, okay, yeah, okay, but what if Maki's there when we get back? And Tamar's like, yeah, we're planning on it. Like,
she damn well better be.
Mm-hmm. Then the next morning, they're waiting for like the big crowds, because both the airships have gone that they came on, and Avery changes, and mm-hmm. Tamar, gives her a package, and Avery's like, no, you have it, and it's a couture.
Yeah, it's like a two-string.
Yeah. And Mayu's like, oh, I was hoping for a weapon. And Avery's like, no, it is a weapon. Beauty of all kinds is a weapon. But to be fair, she just showed that that was
she
true.
She did. She yeah. just demonstrated it.
And Tamar's like, you sound like Zoya.
And Aerie's like, I beg to differ.
Yeah. And so Aerie starts playing the couture. Mm-hmm. So then she's like, you know what? I'm really scared, but it's not just a performance, is mm-hmm. it? And Tamar's like, nope. And Mayu's like having a conniption. She's like, we're really just going to walk like, we're just over gonna there? Walk. Are we stupid?
The bard rolls a nat 20.
She's like, they could just kill us. Mm-hmm. Aerie just tells her that she wanted a simple tale, a simple life, whatever.
Yeah. She just wanted to be a bard, truly. Mm-hmm. Wander and sing.
And so as they go, they walk through the marketplace and mm-hmm. she's playing her song and everyone's like, oh my gosh. And Tamar's like, damn, they really do love her. Mm-hmm. People in the town are like, we heard this, we heard this. And mm-hmm. Aerie's like, but you see, I'm back and I'm with.
I'm here, I'm and single, I'm ready so to mingle.
I'm so happy to be among my people.
And everyone's like, we love you.
And then they get to the palace and then Maki's waiting for them. And she's like, sister, oh, you arrive in such fine style. And Maki is like, trying to not rip her to shreds.
She's like smiling, but the smile is also mm-hmm. like a chimp's fear grimace that's just like all teeth.
And Mahi's like, oh, we're so glad to see her returned, we're so grateful. Mm-hmm. And Mayu's like, yeah, no, she's having a conniption, but she also realizes that so Maki sad. Wants to be loved as much as Aerie is,
and she doesn't understand mm-hmm. why Aerie's so beloved.
Yeah. Because like Maki doesn't?
Yeah, Maki yeah, doesn't.
Because she doesn't have that compassion and humanity in her.
She even told her mother on her deathbed, like, I am the falcon, I am this. And she's like, that's not what our country
yeah.
means.
And so as soon as they get into the palace, guards are there and the minister's there. Minister Yurwei, remember, the, mm-hmm. like, sleazy guy.
The snaky guy.
And he's like, oh, princess, are you well? We need to have you examined, and we need to...
get you to a doctor.
We need to prescribe the proper medicine. She's like, oh, I'm good. Thank you so much. She's like,
our friends in mm-hmm. Ravka took very good care of me.
And they're like, where's the Tavra guard? And she's like, I'll give my answers to my sister. One of the ministers...
That was with them in the yeah. garden.
They're like, oh, you can't meet with her in their chamber. You have to go to maybe this place. And Yurwei was like, I was just in the chamber.
It flooded.
Yeah, it flooded. A what? A flood? Mm-hmm. A small flood. You know, workers are still inside. And so that was, like, in her chamber, mm-hmm. Yurwei and Maki, that's, like, their way of, like, getting rid of her. Mm-hmm. So Mayu's like, okay, well, maybe they are going to keep their promises to Aerie, but who knows? And so they know that they need to speak to the queen privately. And so Yurwei's like, oh, okay, I guess.
That's fine, I guess.
And so they go to the court of Feathered Bower, there's a servant that brings them, like, mm-hmm. water and snacks, whatever.
And they're just vibing.
Mm-hmm. And Maki's there, and she's like, you dare summon me like a servant? And Aerie's just there. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry that you're offended.
It seems there was a plumbing issue.
Yeah. I just knew that we needed to talk in private. And Maki is pissed. She's like, you yep. should have come to me. Like, you conspired with the king. Like, you went to my ministers. Mm-hmm. We'll meet with the counselor. We're going to meet with the council, and you're going to tell them that recant. You lied. And Aerie's like, no, I can't. Like, you can't tell me to lie.
Like, no one can compel me to lie.
And Maki's like, you have no proof. And Mayu's like, I am the proof.
Mm-hmm.
I was the one who was test sent to kill the king. And Maki's like, you don't have...
You can't prove that either. Proof
of that. And Aerie's like, oh, we have your note. It was meant to burn with me, wasn't it? I don't know. I didn't really believe it until now, but I can see how much disdain you have for me.
Mm-hmm.
And Maki's like, what do you want?
She finally levels with her.
Mm-hmm. She's like, keep the treaty, give them money, and don't go to war, and then end the Kurgood program.
And she's like, there's no such thing as the Kurgood program. The treaty's fine, though.
Yeah, and she's like, okay, well then, get rid of the labs. And Maki is not, like, mm-hmm. she her composure is falling. She's like, mm-hmm. no, the Kurgood program is nothing. Like, it's fake. And Tamar's like, I've seen it, bitch.
She is. She's like, then tell me who I fought.
And Maki tells her, she's like, I met your twin in Osalta. You guys are both little shits. Mm-hmm. Mayu's like, you'll take us to the labs.
Mm-hmm.
And Maki's like, I'm not going to listen to you. Like, I don't take orders from anyone. Yeah,
like, you might have two ministers in your pocket,
mm-hmm.
but that's, you're not the queen yet.
And Aerie's like, oh, no. I wasn't going to rely on them. and she, like, smells the roses that she had brought. She moves
to the side because they've been behind mm-hmm. her the whole time to reveal the roses. Yeah,
and Maki's face just, like loses shit. All color. And Aerie's like, oh, aren't they pretty? They don't really smell that much, though. Your beauty's all in the surface. I don't know. I think I prefer wild roses, but these are really rare.
She's like, you've been to see Grandmama. You took them from Grandmama.
And she's like, oh, no, they were a gift. Grandma likes a story.
And Maya's like,
oh. And so we learned that they went to their grandmother, who had been the queen and was still considered a queen,
mm-hmm.
and she had given her crown to her daughter when she was ready to, like, retire.
No, literally mm-hmm. to just enjoy being old. Yeah. I love it.
And then she had given it to Maki, who she thought her daughter had chosen,
mm-hmm.
But the grandma can withdraw that any time. mm-hmm. And Mayu's like, my bad. She was like, man, I
dismissed her as frivolous.
Yeah. Maki's like,
calculated.
Maki's like, oh, maybe our grandmother should be careful. Like, accidents can happen.
She could slip.
Yeah. And Aerie's like, oh, I know.
Too true.
I know. That's why there's a whole bunch of Grisha with her and her own Tavrogard.
Hmm.
And
Maki's like, that's so sweet of you.
Wow, that's crazy. Good job.
Wow, you're such a nice granddaughter.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, I didn't tell her everything. Take us to the labs, or she'll know why. And the queen, Maki's like, oh, I'll think about it. And Tamar asks her, like, do you think she believed us? Which, did they actually go to the Grimmel?
I can't remember.
I don't know. And Aerie's like, yeah, she just can't help herself. And Mayu's like, okay, I'm gonna find my brother.
Oh, boy.
And then chapter 20.
It's in Jordy's
point of view. It's in Jordy's point of view. I got to Jordy's and I was reading this last chapter, and the first sentence absolutely just
mm-hmm.
broke my, like, especially I'm gonna throw up.
We just watched How to Train Your Dragon 2. And it's very evocative of that same type of scene.
I'm gonna throw up.
Please don't. I'll get you a bucket.
I'm not. I'm gonna cry, though. I will cry. Yeah, I might scream. I hope I don't throw up. The first sentence of Zoya's chapter is, quote, they stood on the shore of the lake at the little palace watching David's body burn. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
And so we learn that the Grisha tradition is to burn bodies, mm-hmm. and the ash is then turned into a brick, which I think is exactly what David would have wanted.
Yeah, it's practical, it's functional, it's entirely Ravkin, mm-hmm. and it's a really good metaphor because mm-hmm. he was really important.
Zoya notes that after, like, people speak, you know, mm-hmm. Speak kind words, and she's like, who's going to speak for me? Like, what are they mm-hmm. going to say that I was, like, impossible and vain.
And bitter.
Yeah. And she's like, it's not enough. But she notes that first army soldiers, second army soldiers, guards, like, everyone is there mm-hmm. to pay their respects to David. And she's like, Zoya's thinking, I have to do this because he did so much. I have to fix this for him. And she's also thinking, well, what materialki is going to take David's place in the triumvirate?
Mm-hmm.
I have full body chills.
It's really terrible.
And she's thinking, you can't save them all. And that's, like, Juris's voice telling her that she can't save them all. Mm-hmm. But she wants to so badly.
Mm-hmm.
And Jenya's with her. And she's like, please stay with me. Like, stand with me. So Zoya is, like, has her hands, like, arm in arm with Jenya, mm-hmm. and Nikolai's on her other side and has his arms around her. Mm-hmm. And Zoya knows that it's like they're trying to protect her from something that they couldn't protect her from.
Mm-hmm.
Jenya's in her red kefta, but she feels like, because of Zoya's power, she feels the full weight of Jenya's grief. She yep. feels it all. And Jenya's like, I can't do this. And this part just shows
mm-hmm.
how in grief she was, because it says like her face is described as swollen from crying, but her vibrant hair, quote, her vibrant hair lay limp down her back. And mm-hmm. that is just like,
that's so unlike her.
Yeah. But you just know that that's like, that's exactly how she feels. She just yeah. like,
just what now?
And again, Leigh Bardugo, just like,
ugh.
You know that she's hurting, but to me, with that description, you're like, it's just all the life has gone out of her.
It's just grief.
Oh. And Zoya is grieving herself.
Yeah.
And she's trying so hard not to fall apart, because she is. Mm-hmm. And she's thinking, you're strong enough to survive the fall. That's what Juris told her. And mm-hmm. she's like, I'm not. I can't. She's like, I can't do this.
Mm-hmm.
But she's staying strong for Jenya. Mm-hmm. Zoya tells Nikolai, she's not ready. It's your turn. So Nikolai mm-hmm. speaks and gives a beautiful eulogy. And he's like, yes. I'm grieving the loss of a friend, and says really mm-hmm. kind words about him. And then when Nikolai says that he'll miss him, his voice breaks. Mm-hmm. He's like, I miss him now. He says like, may the saints receive him. But Zoya's like,
the crowd's like, and also with you.
Yeah. But Zoya notes that David didn't believe in saints, that he believed in the small science. I don't believe in God. I believe in science. I'm sorry.
We needed that. It's true, though. Yeah. That's how he was.
And Zoya's having, like, this dilemma of faith as well. She's like, I don't know what I believe mm-hmm. in. I know I believe in Ravka, and I believe in Nikolai. And then Jenya, it's her turn to speak, and she says, quote, I loved him. Ooh, I loved him, and he loved me. When no one could reach me, he saw me. I loved him and he loved me. And she just like turns to Zoya and is just like crying into her.
It's just so terrible.
And then Zoya tells her that he loved her more than anything. Mm-hmm. And at this point, this is when like the dragon's powers open up.
I like how it's described as the dragon's yeah. eye opening.
Yeah. And Zoya feels everything that Jenya feels. Mm-hmm. She feels the full weight of grief.
And the love that they shared.
Yeah, which is really hard for Zoya. Mm-hmm. Jenya's like, I can't, Zoya, I can't. And then Zoya's thinking, this is what, quote, this is what love does. And mm-hmm. that's something that her mom had said. And it which was
so hateful.
Yeah, it was, well, it was initially meant as something positive, but then because of everything, we get a flashback into yeah. how bad Zoya's mom was, and she's like, this is what love does, like, we have nothing.
Yeah, like, I'm married for love and look what it's gotten me.
Yeah. And then in the flashback we learn about that Zoya's dad, well, we don't learn, but we get a reminder that Zoya's mm-hmm. dad was Suli, and she saw her Suli uncles and mm-hmm. once, and she snuck out of her mom's room to see them because her mom didn't want to see them because they mm-hmm. were Suli, and that's frowned upon, but her husband, mm-hmm. whatever. And the uncles are telling her dad, like, come away with us, like, and mm-hmm. her dad's like, I have a daughter, and they're like, well, bring her too.
Mm-hmm.
And Zoya's like, yes, please take me away from here. But then she feels guilt over that. Mm-hmm. And so the next morning, she had woken up and her dad was still there, and she missed something that she would never have.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's thinking, this is what love does. And now Zoya's like angry. She's like, it makes, quote, love was the destroyer. It made mourners, widows, left misery in its wake.
Mm-hmm.
Grief and love were one and the same, because they're like two ends of the same. You can't mm-hmm. feel grief without feeling love.
Yeah.
And Zoya's like, if there's no love, then I'm fine.
What is that quote, that grief is love that has nowhere to go?
Ah, dang. She's also thinking, quote, grief was the shadow. Love left mm-hmm. when it was gone. Mm-hmm. Oh, so good. But then she's like, I've been in that shadow too long.
Like, it's time to step mm-hmm. out. Because for Zoya, bravery, she has, like, what you think of when you think of bravery. Like, she's not afraid to speak up for others or herself or go into battle, but true bravery for Zoya is to feel her feelings.
Mm-hmm. And Jenya's like, she's begging Zoya, like, please. And like, Zoya's say
something for him.
Zoya just doesn't know what to say, and she's honest. She's like, and she feels guilt about being this honest. She mm-hmm. tells everyone, like, when the triumvirate was chosen, I was upset with the people I was leading alongside mm-hmm. Because I thought power meant everything, but it mm-hmm. didn't. And she talks about how much she learned from David and how she learned to be kind from David and mm-hmm. how much he loved Jenya and how Jenya was his perfect equation. That absolutely wrecked me. So sad. And then she gets like a general's speech going. She's like, we're mm-hmm. gonna fight and we're gonna grieve and we're gonna do this and we're gonna do this for David.
Mm-hmm.
Then she says, quote, David Kostick returns to the making at the heart of the world. He will always be with us. Mm-hmm. And the Greeks should know this saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so much.
So as David's ashes are gathered, like, we learn that it'll be put into a brick and that a space will be left for Jenya next to him. And she's like, what is all this for? Like,
mm-hmm.
what did he die for? Nothing. Mm-hmm. For nothing. Jenya pulls out his notebook.
Oh my gosh, this kills me.
And she tells Zoya, she's like, I need to go to him one more time. And on the notebook, it's, I'm gonna cry. I literally can't.
It's literally so sweet.
It's all the compliment, like, ideas for compliments that he wrote down to give Jenya.
It's like, I mean, earlier in the book, it's like, she wanted him to be spontaneous, and so he devised algorithms that would look like spontaneity that were very planned, but would have the same effect. Because that just wasn't who he was, but he loved her well.
And Jenya's like, I need to go to him one more time. And Zoya, who is a squaller, not a tide maker, she's like, yeah, I got this.
Like, I'll help you. I'll do it for you.
And as Jenya walks on the water, she freezes it so she can walk to David's burning body.
Mm-hmm.
I
can't read that. I cannot read this part. Oh, my gosh.
And Jenya gets to where he's burning, and she kisses the cover of the book, and Zoya can hear this, but she's not supposed to because she's like far out on the lake, but she hears mm-hmm. Jenya tell him, quote, so you'll remember when I meet you in the next world.
I hate this stupid book.
I
can't stand this stupid
I literally
book.
Have like I just have chills. Ugh. I'm not hydrated enough to cry.
I know. I've had too much dairy. I'm gonna fart. Part my grief out.
And Zoya's like, she didn't want to hear that, but she did.
Like, it's so private, but she heard it like without.
But she's like, how do you keep living with this pain? Like, how do you keep continuing on? And then it jumps ahead, and Zoya is going to escort Jenya back to her rooms, but Jenya's like, I can't be alone. And Zoe's like, I'm about to go to a meeting. She's like, I can't be alone.
She's
so
like,
they all go.
We're about to choose, you know, the next member of the triumvirate.
She's like, I'm also a member of the triumvirate. So
she's like, I got to do my duty, and yeah. I cannot be alone right mm-hmm. now.
But then Jenya, then she tells, because Zoe's like, we can mm-hmm. wait. And Jenya's like, we can't. And Jenya tells mm-hmm. Zoya that when they pulled him, that he was still dressed in his wedding clothes, and he had ink on his fingers.
He had a pin in his hand and ink on his fingers.
I just, like, literally, I just...
It's just so sad. I mean, and that tells you it was completely sudden.
Yeah.
Like...
It, which...
There's peace in that. It was painless. Mm-hmm. It was instant.
And so they get to Nikolai's chambers, and Toya wraps a shawl around Jenya's shoulders, and Adric is there, Zoya is there, Nikolai's there, and she's like, is Nikolai just going to demote me? Like, he has every right to do that after what I let the Darkling go.
And Leonie is there, too.
And Leonie's there, yeah. And Nikolai's like, sorry, I'm late. Well, a lot's happened. And then he goes over to Jenya, and mm-hmm. he's like, are you hungry? And she's like, no. He gives her tea anyway, and mm-hmm. sits next to her. Which I love how mm-hmm. protective they are of her.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Nikolai, we learned that Nikolai had been going to as many funerals as he could. He helped the town where he could, and mm-hmm. he and Zoya haven't really seen each other. Mm-hmm. And she's like, he probably can't stand me right now, which is not true, but no, you know,
but she's all up in her grief.
Yeah. But they take stock of like what's been hit, like that they don't have anything. And Nikolai notes that their stores of titanium are gone, and they're all like, gone. Oh gosh, what are we supposed to do?
The missiles with.
And so they're like, we have no options. Then Zoya just says, quote, he got the best of me again. Mm-hmm. She's like so just defeated. And they're like, no. Mm-hmm. It's not your fault.
Yeah, Nikolai's like, I agreed to let him go in the first mm-hmm. place. Like, this is not the first time. It probably won't be the last.
Yeah.
But he hasn't won yet.
Mm-hmm. But Jenny's still blaming herself. And Leona's like, okay, what are we going to do? Zoya notes that Leone and Adric are still buddy-buddy. Real cute.
It is cute. I love that she also kind of cynically notes, like, it's not uncommon to fall in love while you're on your spy mission.
Yeah, she's like, that's why I'm so close with Nikolai. That's it.
That's why. It's not uncommon.
Yeah. They're like, okay, well, Tolya brings up that Tamar has spies, and, like, we'll learn from that. Mm-hmm. And they know that Tamar is okay. And they're like, okay, well, what do we do next? Yeah. Like,
they worry that the Darkling will join Fyrda, and mm-hmm. Jenny is the one who pipes up, who's like, he's not going to do that.
Because the apparat's there.
Yeah. And Nikolai's like, you know, you knew him for better and longer than any of us. Like, explain. And she was like, because she says, quote, the Darkling doesn't forgive, he punishes.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to punish the apparat.
And the apparat's a little baby back bitch.
The apparat is a baby back bitch. He probably is, like, shaking in his wee little boots.
Yeah. He's new boot goofing. He's new shaking in him.
He's like, I just got these new boots.
So they're like, okay, sorry. Mm-hmm. Then Jenny is again, she's like, He punishes, but he also underestimates mm-hmm. us. He underestimated Alina. Like, let that be his downfall. And then they're like, okay, well, what are we going to do? And Adric, ever the pessimist, is like, well, mm-hmm. we can't do anything. Mm-hmm. And Leona's like, well, we need titanium. And they're like, mm-hmm. yeah, but where are we going to get titanium? And they're like, well, if we're going to do this, if we're going to build the missiles, like, that's going to determine not only this war, but every war moving forward.
It catapults this world into
modern warfare.
Modern warfare. What would eventually be nuclear warfare.
Yeah. And they're like, are we going to be the villains in this story? Tolya's like, sorry. Tolya's the one who asks. He's like, are we supposed to be the villains? Yeah, because he's not about it. Then Zoya,
where does it stop?
Yeah, Zoya comes up and says, quote, you've never been the weakest person in the room, Tolya. Mercy means nothing if we can't protect our own. And I was like, damn.
But then that was Zoya, like, right? Yeah, that was Zoya. Yeah. But then he's like, but then where does it stop?
And then Jenya, like, touches Tolya's arm. She's like, David never wanted this. He just wanted to create and mm-hmm. invent. He never wanted war, but I think we have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to give the rest of the world a choice, like, how we're going to be moving forward.
Mm-hmm.
And Nadia's like, yeah, but we don't have titanium. And Nikolai tells him, oh, we'll have the titanium.
This makes me think of a time on a brief Geordie childhood tangent. My uncle had taken me and my siblings and my cousin, who is, like, decently older than, like, I can't remember how much older, but, like, 10 to 15 years older than me.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, we want to go to Starbucks. And my uncle, like, while we were getting gas, and my uncle was like, we're not getting Starbucks. And he slams the door, he goes to pump gas. And my cousin turns around the front seat and went, we're getting Starbucks. And we did. So this is what I think of when Nikolai's like, we'll have titanium.
And Zoya's like, the Zemini?
Like, he's like, no. Are we alchemists now?
No, the Kirch are going to give it to us. Or the Kirch have it. And Adric's like, yeah, they're not going to sell it to us. And he's like, I didn't say we were going to buy it. They sure won't.
You're super right.
And Toya's like, are we going to negotiate? And Zoya's like, he means we're going to steal it. And Jenny's like, what?
She's like, if the Kirch find out,
yeah,
it'll be terrible.
And Nikolai is kind of, like, trying to reassure her. And says, quote, maybe so, but Ketterdam is the right place to gamble.
I wrote, hell yeah.
I wrote,
I'm back in. We were sad. We cried. I'm back in. I get to see Kaz's mother loving Brecker.
Ketterdam.
Ugh.
We're ready for it.
I miss the crows. We don't get to see them for long, but they're here.
They're there.
Ugh, I just love the mention of it. It's
so good.
Ugh.
I love. Ugh. Anyway, that's the end of chapter 20. Chapter 21, brief spoilers in the monk's point of view.
The monk?
Yeah, the nerdy virgin.
Yeah. I think my exact phrase was virgin ass nerd.
Oh, okay. Well.
So.
Whatever. Anyway, thank you all for joining us. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please send us an email at twomournerspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at twomournerspod or on TikTok at twomournerspodcast. One of our good friends, Nora, over in the UK. If we are mispronouncing that, I am so sorry. Please let us know. Sent us another edit.
Oh my gosh.
And it was so good.
So totally good. Truly in awe.
We will keep that to ourselves until she is comfortable with us sharing it. If she's ever, like, no pressure.
But it's that we've seen it, but it is so good.
It was so good. I was like, I'm in love with Nikolai all over again.
I know.
I'm in.
I didn't realize there were that many clips. Just truly great work.
Yeah.
Just
10 out of 10.
Kudos.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning. So, anyway, be on the lookout for some TikToks, some posts. Thanks for joining us.
Mm-hmm.
And as always, happy Halloween!